Jason Fitz. Let's start you, as always, with the headlines you need to know. Percy Harvin, ready to return to the NFL, says, quote, "The itch came back to play football again in a wide receiver-heavy draft. Percy Harvin is trying to make his return." Josina Anderson reported he wants to return to football. Quote, "I thought I was done, but that itch came back." He turns 32 next month. He retired for a second time in March 2017 after playing in two games the previous season with the Buffalo Bills. His agent at the time told ESPN that Harvin was done playing. He now feels healthy, says that his body feels right, and he wants to get back in the game. We'll see where that goes for him next. Next up on the headlines, Sean Payton has informed the Saints that there will be no offseason program this spring. So he told players on Wednesday they will not have any type of offseason program, virtual or otherwise, according to players who spoke with ESPN's Diana Rossini. The quote, "Take care of your families, your health, and be ready this summer," Payton was quoted as saying. So we'll see what that means for the Saints moving forward. And speaking of moving forward, Gronk moving forward. He's got a new home. You've heard the news by this point. Gronk is headed back into the NFL. He has been traded from New England to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, or now the Tampa Bay Gronkaneers. You're welcome. As the Bucs trade a fourth round pick to New England in exchange for Gronk and a seventh rounder. Gronk has 1 year left for $10 million on his deal. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Jason Fitz. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you get in on the fun. Let's have a little fun sharing each other's misery. The draft is tomorrow. Now, I'll continue to promote for the next at least 24 hours that Mike Golic Jr., myself, Mina Kimes, the crew that you've seen digitally do some live work over the last couple of years, we're going to be coming to you with some on-demand fun. It won't be live per se, but we're going to be doing everything on a quick delay. So essentially, right after picks go out, there'll be videos of Mina, Mike, Field Yates, Harry Douglas, Dominique Foxworth, and myself reacting to picks as only we can. We're going to do it on a Zoom call, have a little fun. We're going to clip those out, and you'll be able to get them on the ESPN app, and anywhere you follow us digitally. So you'll find it everywhere that you find ESPN socially. In the spirit of the NFL draft, figured we'd have a little fun sharing in the misery. What's your NFL team's worst draft moment? That's your chance to get it off your chest. If you're like me, you're a Raiders fan, you got plenty of them. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. One word, Jamarcus. 888-729-3776. Chime in. Give me your worst draft moment for your favorite team. It can be a pick. It can be a trade they didn't make, a pick they should have made. Whatever it is, you can also tweet me, at Jason Fitz. We're going to take some of your calls, get some of your take on it, have some laughs together with each other, but we're going to start with some Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless has the full court cell phone coverage you need. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G for just $45 a month. Saves you up to half the cost of big carriers, everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. You just heard on the last of the headlines that Gronk is headed to Tampa Bay, where he will be reunited with Tom Brady. That has some people, Dan Orlovsky this morning on Golic and Wingo, saying that it makes, in his mind, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers the second-best team in the NFC. That's how powerful it can be for some. So the question is, what do the guys think? Rex Ryan joined Max and Stephen A., not just to look at Gronk and Brady from the positive segment, but also to have the real conversation of if their best days are actually behind them.
We're not looking at numbers here. We're looking at mystique. We're looking at reputation. We're looking at closure, meaning that it's time to close. We're in the red zone. Who are we going to target? It could be Rob Gronkowski. You can get away with that. The man's got 79 career touchdown passes. 65% of the time that Brady has targeted this man since he entered the league in 2010, they've connected with one another. That's why he's got over 7,800 receiving yards and 521 receptions in his career, all pretty much from Tom Brady. You've got to take that into account and then look at the support. Supporting cast that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have available to them. You've got Mike Evans. You've got Chris Godwin. Both studs. Cameron Braid and O.J. Howard are no joke. Rob Gronkowski, a big target, obviously is somebody that you can target in the red zone. But then when you take into account his blocking ability, that's also going to elevate the quality of their running game, which was ranked 24th in the league last year, if I remember correctly. So when you look at it from that perspective, where's the weakness? It certainly isn't in the play calling of Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich. I don't believe it's going to be in the case of Tom Brady, who was bereft of targets in New England last year. I certainly don't know. I certainly don't believe it's their receiving core. And now their tight end situation is shored up. I think when you look at it, does it elevate them against San Francisco, ahead of San Francisco? No, but they're virtually capable of beating anybody. I think they're one of the top two or three teams in the NFC. That's how I view it. No downgrade for with Brady and Gronk. Only elevation, not numbers wise, but what they bring to the table combined with what they have in place. I definitely don't think you've seen the last of them or the worst of them, because they'll target one another in the red zone and they will capitalize.
Of course the best days of Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski are behind them. Are we is this a trick question? The best days? Why do you think they're not on the Patriots anymore? Do you think players with their best days ahead of them, Belichick just says, see you later? Of course their best days are behind them. Gronkowski, don't get me wrong, Gronkowski was still excellent when last seen on a field. And Stephen A., you're right, he can block, he can do everything, he plays with so much heart, he's clutch. He's still a very valuable piece. But was he the Gronkowski of 3 or 4 years ago, 5 years ago? No, that clearly he wasn't the receiving target that he was in the past, even though he was still better than most. He was clearly not the same guy. And part of that is he had a million concussions and he was really banged up, and that's why he retired from football for a while. Tom Brady also. This is not like, oh, this year he wasn't as good as last year. You could say that for three seasons now. I said the cliff. It was more like a ravine, Molly. I know you like that. But it was. It's season over season. He's getting worse and worse. And part of that, of course, is the supporting cast. But Tom Brady would still be a Patriot if his best days were ahead of him. Great, all-time great players. Look, the greatest quarterback ever and the greatest tight end ever. If they were in their primes, if their greatest days were ahead of them, they would just change teams. The team would let them go. Of course not. Now, you bring up the supporting cast around them. It's awesome. Godwin is maybe the most underrated guy around. Evans and Gronk, and you bring up something, Howard or Brady. Something's got to give. How many tight ends are you going to throw out there? And, by the way, the draft is coming up. They'll fill the hole at right tackle. They'll get a running back. And if they go early on a running back and get a really an elite guy, oh, my goodness, look at this offense. But that's the point. Think of how much Tom Brady has around him. Even the offensive line in recent years, they've devoted more resources to in terms of draft picks and treasure. So Brady's got the defense a little bit underrated. So Brady's got not just plenty, more than almost maybe anyone else. Maybe he has the most around him. They're going to be favorites to win the Super Bowl, the favorites. If his best days were ahead of him, they would be. They're not.
Yeah, well, I'm going to say this. I mean, clearly, the best days are behind him. I mean, this isn't Brady and Gronk from 5 years ago. It's not close. However, I don't disagree with Stephen A. when he talks about the impact that Gronkowski can have specifically in the red zone. I think Gronkowski's going to be a situational player. When you look at what situations, game on the line situations, 2 minute, okay, third down in red zone.
First take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. It's going to be interesting, and it's funny because I think we can look clearly at where there's a good opportunity in my mind for Gronk and Brady specifically together. One, we have to remember that in the pandemic society we live in right now, many of these players aren't going to get an opportunity to play together, get that sort of timing and comfort, right? So what you bring is you bring in Brady, somebody that can turn around and have comfort out of the gates with one of the most important offensive players. The other part of it is it will take a little time for Brady to become comfortable with the offensive weapons he has at Tampa Bay. So you give him somebody he's comfortable with right out of the gates, and while he gets comfortable with everybody else there, it makes a lot of sense. I can't find a loser in this situation. I want to get some thoughts on it from somebody that's right in the thick of it. So we go to Tampa Bay Times Bucks writer Rick Stroud joins us now on First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. So, Rick, what was your reaction to the news yesterday that Gronk has been traded to Tampa Bay?
Well, I mean, we've heard that this might happen, could happen. And as it turns out, I think that it was something that Tom Brady suggested as soon as he got here. I don't think it was necessarily a demand per se, but he let the Bucks know early on that Gronk wanted to play again, wanted to play in Tampa, wanted to play, you know, with him, obviously, at quarterback. So, when you stop and think about it, it does make sense. Now, He spent a year out of football. He looks to be in good shape. We know he has a, you know, medical journal of injuries and things like that. But when the guy is on the field, he's an absolute game wrecker. And, you know, we'll see. They have obviously a lot of tight ends now. See what happens coming into this draft. But as it stands right now, they think he's going to bring a whole hell of a lot to that team. And as you were saying, it does. It gives Tom Brady a familiar face. He didn't know anybody in this organization. I mean, Jason Light had been in New England when he was drafted, but, you know, he was in the front office, so you don't have a lot of interaction. So this is important for Brady and should work for the Bucs.
So, Rick, you mentioned they have several tight ends there. Any expectation at this point of what they're going to do for their tight end room, especially going into the draft?
Well, look, this might be posturing and often we're used for that. But when I talked to the Bucs, they indicated that, you know, like any player, if somebody comes and gives them a great offer for an O.J. Howard, they would consider it. And they have considered it. I don't know what that it would take to move him, if that's a second rounder, if that's something else. But all I know is that he's still on his rookie contract. You know, they got to make a decision in May whether to give him that fifth-year option, which is only guaranteed against injury a year from now. But they're talking about, you know, if we keep the guy, you could play a lot of 12 personnel. We've seen Brady do that in New England. Gronk would help him develop as a player. And, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world. But, you know, you just did a contract renegotiation with Cameron Brate, who took a little less money to stay here. So it's a solid room. And, you know, maybe you, not knowing how many games Gronk can play, maybe you want to keep all those guys. So, as it stands, it wouldn't surprise me if one were moved during the draft, but I don't know that that's the plan right now.
We're talking to Tampa Bay Times Bucs writer Rick Stroud. It's First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. So, Rick, I guess I'm having a hard time wrapping my mind around what realistic expectations are this year, because as much as Jameis, obviously, and rightfully so, gets thrown under the bus for the interceptions, he did throw for 5,100 yards and 30 touchdowns, 30-plus touchdowns. So when you look at the expectation from productivity from Brady, they bring in an extra weapon, but what is the realistic expectation in your mind for Brady's level of production?
Well, I mean, you know, he's been a pretty efficient quarterback. I think if you look at, you know, what he didn't have in New England and you look at what he does have here in Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, who had a lot to do with those 5,100 yards, and then, you know, you add a Gronk and those guys, I mean, it's an explosive offense potentially. Now, they got to change things. I mean, he's only worked really under one system. It's going to be Brady's offense, even though he's going to be calling the terminology used by B.A., but you don't get Tom Brady and Gronkowski and all these guys unless you're trying to win a championship. The fact of the matter is, and I had somebody tell me this in the organization, that they believe this team, you know, is still, you know, is below average. Now, this is before Gronk, but it's improving, right? I mean, you had Brady, you had Gronk. The class of the NFC South is still, I think, the New Orleans Saints. They've won it 3 years in a row. They still have Drew Brees. He's going to want to go out on a blaze of glory. That roster is stacked. I mean, I think it's probably matches up better than this one, quite frankly, by position. And so, you know, until you can win the division, you're not assured of the playoffs. But to say you would go and get Brady and do all these things and not think you're a contender is sort of ridiculous. So, you know, not turning the ball over is a big deal in this league. And I know Jameis did all those things, but he also gave up 120 points on his turnovers alone. And, you know, when you do that and you put your defense in a hole, you know, it's difficult to win games that way. So that's not Brady's MO, and I think he'll make a big difference.
Talking to Tampa Bay Times Buccaneers writer Rick Stroud. It's First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. So wrap my mind around a little bit here what the draft expectations should be then, because the acquisition of Brady and Gronk, easy to say that they've gone into win now mode, but they've also been a young football team. So what does this do to their draft strategy for a pick?
Well, I mean, in my mind, I would think that you got to find a plug-and-play right tackle. You know, that's the one area they didn't really address. They didn't bring DeMar Dotson back. You know, there's four, maybe five elite guys in this draft. Whether they can sit there at 14 and get like an Andrew Thomas or Tristan Wirfs or one of those guys, it remains to be seen. But if you can use some capital, whatever that is, whether that's O.J. Howard or another draft pick to get the guy you want, I think it's that critical to find a right tackle to help protect Brady and to play right away. And that, the same is true with the other needs they have, which is they've got to get a pass-catching running back. Look, Brady his last 5 years has completed over 100 passes a year to running backs. And, yeah, they have Ronald Jones, but he's more of an asset in the screen game. He's not a good pass protector. He's not a guy you can split out and run the route tree with. So there's a number of good receiving running backs in this draft in the second round, which means to me that you really can't, you know, lose that draft capital to try to move up someplace. So they're in a weird position, but they have needs at tackle, obviously running back. And then if they can find a receiver that can stretch the field because they lost Breshad Perriman, they could use a pure speed guy. You know, again, everything's got to be under the sort of the guise of building around Tom Brady. And there are pieces on defense they need as well. So, you know, there's a lot of hype about this team. They're going to win the offseason again. I understand that. But, you know, it's a shortened offseason, and they got a lot of work to do to prove it if, in fact, we get to play in the fall.
You guys can follow him on Twitter at NFL Stroud, Rick Stroud. Rick, appreciate your expertise. Thanks for coming on with us. Stay safe, my friend.
Thanks, Jason. You too.
Great stuff from Rick as we try and figure out what the right expectation is for Tampa Bay going in. And I said it this morning hosting Golic and Wingo. By the way, I'll be on Golic and Wingo all week this week for the rest of the week, getting you ready for the draft. So you can check that out. But I said it this morning, any presumption that Tampa Bay is suddenly the favorite in the NFC South also presumes that there's going to be a drop off for the Saints. That's a presumption I'm not willing to make. Are the Bucs going to be better? Yes. Are the Saints going to be worse? I can't figure that out. So even if we're going to presume it's because Breeze hit some sort of a wall as a thrower, then I think it's only fair to say, hey, if we're going to question Breeze's age and when he hits a wall, then isn't it fair to question that same thing when it comes to Tom Brady? So to me, it's still the Saints' division to win, which is funny to say because I do believe that this makes Tampa Bay better and just puts more pressure on the Bucs to win right now. But it is still ultimately the Saints' division to win in my mind. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance, Progressive's Home Quote Explorer, changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. We're taking your take. What's your favorite NFL team's worst draft moment? The moment that you're just still ripping your head out over. So many tweets coming in on this. Jordan in Iowa. Jordan, what do you got as your worst draft moment for your favorite team?
Well, it's a tie. I'm a Cowboys fan. I have Randy Gregory and Taco Charlton. I can give Randy Gregory on yet another chance because he's been suspended how many times, but I'd have to go with Taco Charlton because he was picked so high and he just produced nothing for the Cowboys.
Gotten a lot of tweets for Taco. So tweets for Taco feels like it should be something. But love your take on it. That definitely has stood out to people on Twitter. Also, Discipline Leads to Freedom on Twitter says, Tony Mandrich in front of Barry Sanders, Derek Thomas, and Deion Sanders. Oh, that one hurts. Jerry said Chiefs and Todd Blackledge. That's an interesting one there going way back. Lots of Raiders tweets coming in on this for Jamarcus Russell. But Darius Haywood-Bey also being high on the list for a lot of people. Eddie in Wisconsin, what do you got as your NFL team's worst draft moment?
You know, probably looking back at it now, it's easier to say, but I remember at the time in 2005, being a 49ers fan, the Niners taking Alex Smith. I was a big Cal fan, so I was already rooting for Aaron Rodgers, hopefully playing for my team because, you know, I lived in that area at the time. But then again, looking back at it so many years later, looking back and seeing that Aaron Rodgers had this huge, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and seeing Alex Smith didn't really do, you know, what I wanted him to do. So, yeah, that's where I sit.
I like that take on it. Kyle said, you hurt me as a Jags fan. Where do I even begin? RJ Soward, Derek Harvey, Matt Jones, Justin Blackmon, Luke Jokel, Blaine Gabbert. It's not pretty. I mean, it is true that there are several Lions fans have also been chiming in a lot with USC wide receiver Williams, one of the tweets that we got here from Chris. So I love this. I love sharing in the misery. We're all sort of celebrating it together. Gavin in Iowa, always love when Gavin calls. Gavin, what do you got as your NFL team's worst draft moment?
Hey, Jason, thanks for taking my call. It was actually last year. I really wanted the Falcons to pick Montez Sweat, and they picked a guard, which he hasn't developed at all this last season, his rookie season, so I take that as a bad pick.
Oh, well, and Montez Sweat, you know, it started off a little slow for him. He really came on the back half of the season, too. So Montez Sweat is a big part of why I think the Redskins would be silly not to take Chase Young, because ultimately it's going to make that defensive line very good, very fast. Keep your take coming. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Your NFL team's worst draft moment. You guys can chime in that way. At Jason Fitch, you can also tweet me. Coming up, the NFL draft is tomorrow. Can you believe it? We're going to talk to an NFL draft analyst. We'll do that next.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
We share in each other's joy. We share in each other's sorrow. That's just a part of the fun of what we're doing here. It's First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, ESPN App, Sirius XM, Channel 80, ESPN News. We're getting ready for the NFL draft. It starts tomorrow. So I've been asking you, like, we've talked a lot of the positives, you know, favorite moments. We've talked about those things. What your ideal situation is. What do you want for your favorite team? Today, we're going in a separate way. We're all laughing with each other. No one's laughing at anyone. We're all laughing with everyone as we break down our NFL team's worst draft moment. I want your favorite team's worst draft moment. As a Raiders fan, it's hard for me to pick one. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll have some fun. We'll get back to your take in just a second. First Take Your Take, brought to you by My Computer Career Training for a better life. So let's go from the worst to some of the best. One of my favorite analysts that we have, ESPN NFL writer and analyst Matt Bowen, joins us. I want to get Matt's thoughts on all things draft. Matt, first and foremost, hope you and yours are safe. Thank you so much for your time. There's been a lot of conversation, obviously, about the quarterback position coming into this. I know you've broken everything down as you look at the draft. Tell me what I'm missing at some point, because I don't see it with Justin Herbert, but everybody seems to think that he could be going higher than Tua. How did we get here with Herbert?
Well, I think it's based on the traits of Herbert, Jason. That's what you have to look at. You know, the pro size, the arm talent, the athleticism. I think you play in a heavily schemed offense in the NFL. You can create some open window throws for him. And then you're really just projecting the ceiling he has with pro development. Now, I'm with you. I think Tua, based on the pro offense he played in Alabama, the quick release, the play action, how you can scheme around him, and he can be a ball distributor from the pocket. But Justin Herbert, again, injury-free, high-end traits, high-end athlete. Those are top 10 traits that push guys up the board as we get closer to the draft.
If you were a GM today, knowing what you know about the health issues of Tua, and you sat there with both quarterbacks on the board, if you're quarterback needy, which one are you taking?
That's a tough one. Okay, I think it would really depend on my coaching staff, what type of scheme I want to run. Just think about it from this perspective. With Herbert, I think you have to play stylistically like Josh Allen. What I mean by that, heavy run base, you got to add some spread concepts that he's familiar with coming from the Oregon spread system. Get him on the move, get him outside of the pocket, use those quarterback design runs. Whereas with Tua, if you have a more structured pass game, use the RPOs that he had at Alabama, the play action passing game, the quick throws underneath. You're going to have to scheme some deep balls for Tua down the field. But as I look at it, to answer your question, I'm probably taking Tua, because I think he fits more as a pocket thrower in the National Football League right now with enough second reaction ability to make some plays when things go south.
We're talking to ESPN NFL writer and analyst Matt Bowen on First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. So as you start to look ahead at this draft, who are we just sleeping on that we should be paying more attention to tomorrow night?
I don't know, sleeping on. I think it's really the wide receiver class. As you get to the back end of round one, Jason, because that's where it's really interesting. After Philadelphia, 21, if they take a wide receiver, Minnesota has two picks late in the first, and you get to teams like Green Bay and San Francisco who have needs at the position. For me, it's Michael Pittman from USC. I mean, when you watch him on film, he looks like a pro wide receiver. He's a good route runner. He can work the middle of the field.
He has pro size, 6'4", 223, 4'5", speed, can track the ball down the field, can play on special teams for you. That's a guy I think can develop, and he fits in the modern NFL. Look, Jason, if you track, you know, the top offenses where they throw the football right now, it's between the numbers. That's where you want to go with the ball. You want to make high percentage throws for your quarterback, create enough separation or open window in the middle of the field to catch the ball and run after the catch. To me, that's Michael Pittman. And I think he's a first-round talent. Does that mean he goes in the first? Absolutely not. But if I'm drafting late in the first round and I have a need for a wide receiver, someone that can also help me on special teams, has the physical traits that I want in my offense, I go with Pittman.
We're talking to Matt Bowen, ESPN NFL writer and analyst, as we get ready for tomorrow night's NFL draft. You did some study on the running back position, and it's funny. We just no longer talk about running back because so few right. of them go in the first round. So a lot of people seem to be really happy with DeAndre Swift. Who stands out to you there?
Well, I'd start with Swift. I think he's in this running back class, probably has a late first round grade. You have to project his traits. I didn't like how he was utilized in the Georgia offense, I'll be honest. I think he needed more targets in the pass game, and he'll get that in the National Football League. He's got three down traits. That's what we're looking for here. Guys that fit in zone-based run games. Everyone in the NFL, you know, it's more zone-based run game right now. Guys that can find a slice of daylight, get up the field, make a guy miss at the second level. But it's really the pass game. And I look at Swift, and I think, okay, if I can use him in a pro offense, outside of that Georgia system, obviously you have the screens and the swings. We understand that. But I think he can flex him outside, create some matchups underneath. He's a sudden mover. He can get open. And that's what this is really about. Can he get open as a running back out of the backfield? Edwards-Helaire from LSU. You saw that. And here's the thing about the LSU offense. That all transitions to the NFL. I mean, that was a pro offense. A little bit more wide open because they ran so much empty sets at the college level. But the route tree that Edwards-Helaire ran, hey, that's what you see on Sundays. Those are two guys I think that – are at the top of that class because of those pass-catching ability.
And you mentioned Clyde Edwards-Helaire, man. It was special trying to watch him last year, what he did in that offense. So let's go to the defensive side of the ball as we're talking to ESPN NFL writer and analyst Matt Bowen. First, take your take on ESPN Radio. Where does Isaiah Simmons translate to you in the next level?
Yeah, that's a great discussion. I think, one, it obviously depends on your scheme, but Jason, I think he's a safety. I think he's a safety. I think he's a guy that runs the alley, plays top-down the football, makes plays in space. Look, if you watch Simmons on tape, he's at his best in space. You don't want him around a lot of bodies. Okay, so if you draft Isaiah Simmons, because he has the size of a middle linebacker, and you actually put him there, what are we doing? What are we doing here, Jason? That's not his position. You don't want him taking on lead blocks. You just don't want him doing that. You want him playing in space. He can play on the edge as a safety roll down or in the alley as a quarters base safety. He has coverage traits to match up to tight ends. You saw in the national semifinal that play he made against Ohio State. To have that type of range to come from the post and overlap an outside vertical, I think he's a safety in your base defense. Then when you get to third downs or your passing situations and your sub-package sets, now you can have some more creativity. Then he can be your hybrid safety linebacker who can, you know, play different spots for you, that multi-positional defender. But in base defense, if I'm a coach and I'm scouting him, he's a day one safety.
A lot of mock drafts, Matt, have tried to put him in the top four or top seven. Can you afford to spend that sort of draft equity on somebody that's mostly a safety?
That's a great point. And I had that discussion with someone earlier today. Think about the Giants at four. You know, Simmons has been linked to the Giants. You're going to draft a safety at four or even an outside linebacker who'd go offensive line. I really think with Simmons, he could be a guy that slides a little bit. And there's nothing against his talent. It's his positional value. If we see a running offensive tackle starting at four with the Giants and we see quarterbacks get pushed up the boards, then he's going to slide a little bit. And he could be a steal for someone, you know, still a top 10 player, but in the back half of that top 10 range because of his positional value.
We're talking to Matt Bowen, ESPN NFL writer, analyst. First, take your take on ESPN Radio. Okay, we all know Chase Young's spectacular. So give me somebody else that you've looked at here that you think can really get after the quarterback that we should have our eye on.
Well, I think Chase Young from LSU has the athletic traits, the bend to get home off the edge. You know, obviously I'm an Iowa alum, and I'm very biased towards my Hawkeyes. AJ Epenesa, look, I understand. Here's the thing about AJ Epenesa is he's a defensive end, Jason. That's what he is. He's a defensive end. I wouldn't call him an edge player. He's a true defensive end. Played for Coach Ferentz at Iowa. Didn't have great testing numbers. I don't care, man. You know, we get to this point of the draft, Jason, and you start talking about 40 times. Let's go back to the tape. Let's watch players. Are they good football players? I think AJ Epenesa is a good football player that has some versatility, can play some defensive tackle for you in passing situations, and is so strong with his hand. I think, you know, you talk about specific traits for these guys. Obviously, with Chase Young, he's going to check almost every box, so he's going to be a top five player. But a guy like AJ, well, it's his technique, you know, his ability to win with his hands at the point of attack. That stuff sells in the NFL much more than, you know, athletic traits. Eventually, you're going to have to win a one-on-one matchup, not playing against college guys anymore. And for me, that's AJ.
You guys can watch him on NFL Matchup. I rarely say this. There's certain follows on Twitter that will make you smarter as a football fan. Matt is one of them. You need to follow him at MattBowen41. Matt, really appreciate your time, man. Hope you guys are safe. Thanks so much for the insight and the expertise on the draft.
All right. Thank you, Jason.
Go out there, follow him at MattBowen41. His breakdowns and the way he explains everything will make you smarter when you are talking to your friends and looking for what you're trying to find as you get ready for the draft. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. What's your NFL team's worst draft moment? Oh, there are so many to choose from. I know this is tough. Nick in South Carolina, what do you got as the worst draft moment for your favorite team?
Hey, Jason, appreciate you taking my call. Love the show. My worst draft moment is going to have to be 2015. We had the number 9 overall pick, and we selected Ereck Flowers with players like Todd Gurley still on the board. That one didn't exactly pan out for us.
Oh, man. Flowers has been getting a lot of hate on Twitter, too, from Giants fans. I get it. Believe me. I get it across the board. People are fired up about that one. ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, protecting your business with specialized coverage for your commercial vehicles. More at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Al in Pennsylvania. Love it when Al calls. Al, what do you got as your worst draft moment for your favorite team?
Okay, Jason. Thanks for taking my call. All right. I'm going to see if I can jar your memory a little bit. This is probably about 7-8 years ago, maybe a little bit longer, and of course it involved our Raiders, and I think it was most ridiculous first round pick I've ever heard of in NFL history. It was a guy out of the University of Houston. He was a defensive back, and either just before the season or during the season, the guy had open heart surgery. Do you recall that? He was a defensive back.
Of course. Yep, DJ Hayden, right?
Was that his name? I couldn't remember his name.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, it's DJ Hayden. Al, that you are bringing him back for me on that one, man. I appreciate it. DJ Hayden, yeah, was the 2013 NFL draft. DJ Hayden, and you're right. He'd had open heart surgery. It was sort of this great, oh my God, I can't believe he's back story until he didn't really pan out. And that was a first round draft pick for the Raiders. You guys are tweeting me a ton of Raiders ones. It's like therapy for me. I appreciate it. At Jason Fitch, you can keep them coming. You can also keep your take coming. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We live through the pain together. That's how we get through it. Coming up, Roger Goodell went on Get Up this morning to discuss the league's decision to hold the draft and important statements about the upcoming season. You'll hear it next. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring 3 advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. If you missed the first hour of today's show, some good stuff on the Buccaneers. Go check it out on demand in the First Take, Your Take podcast, brought to you by Capital One. Why settle for average with Capital One? You can open a savings account with a rate 5 times the national average. Welcome to banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Capital One, NA member FDIC. We're asking you for your NFL team's worst draft moment. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's squeeze one in here before we hear from the commissioner of the NFL, Roger Goodell. Let's go to Wes in Ohio. Wes, what do you have as the worst moment for your favorite team?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm a Dolphins fan. The 2013 draft, when they moved up from 12 to 3 to take Deion Jordan.
No, well, see, that one actually, that was a trade that involved the Raiders. So, you know, Wes, I'm all in for that one. That was a brutal trade. Deion Jordan obviously didn't turn out to have quite the career that he extended. But if that's your worst draft moment, I'm just saying, that's not the worst. I mean, it does get substantially worse than that. We got a bunch of you guys hanging on. We'll take more of your take. Before we get there, though, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell joined Get Up today for an all-very intensive interview where they went across several different league issues, but most importantly, on whether or not the season could be played and what it could look like. This is Roger Goodell talking about the potential that the NFL season could get delayed.
Well, I don't know the answer to things that can happen that can prevent that from occurring, but I think our job is to plan, and we are planning to make sure we're ready to go, we're ready to play. We obviously put public safety as a priority one for us. We've demonstrated that when we've had natural tragedies such as hurricanes, that we always make sure that we're doing the right things, to one, for public safety, but two, to support the first responders and make sure we're doing things right. We are working with our medical teams. We are working with medical teams at CDC and NIH and from state to state. And we, as we are doing with the draft, we didn't ask for any exemptions from the draft. We are doing this within regulations from state to state. Everybody's home. Everyone's operating under the same guidelines that the states have dictated or the federal government. And we're going to continue to be able to do that. But our job is to be ready to play, and we will be ready to play.
I think the most important part of what he just said is that they're following state guidelines. We have to remember that the decision to return is not going to be up to Roger Goodell. In fact, they've made it clear that until everybody can return, nobody can return. And if that's the case, then what we're looking for at this point isn't clarity from Roger Goodell. We're going to be looking for clarity from municipalities, because it'll be the government that decides when they're comfortable with these gatherings happening on a state-to-state basis, on a local-to-local basis. And until there's clearance, there's nothing that the NFL can do. As much as we may want our sports to come back on time and give us as much escapism as possible, we have to understand that this decision is so far out of not only our hands, but even out of the hands of the people that dictate those sports. And in fact, when they talked about whether or not there'd be a delay, Roger Goodell was clear about how the decision would be made if it needed to delay the season. This is what he said on Get Up.
You have to be willing to adapt. You have to be prepared to adapt. You can't expect or anticipate every move, but your job is to try to be as prepared as possible. And so we do that. We'll continue to do that. We will make sure that we're putting our players safe in a safe position, our coaches, our team personnel, everybody, our partners, and we'll make sure that those are the issues that we'll put first. And ultimately, it'll probably come down to a league and an owner decision.
As much as it can, yes, they'll be prepared to adapt, but it's not just going to be leagues and owners making those decisions. Andy in South Carolina, give me your NFL team's worst draft moment. What do you got?
Well, I believe it was the 2007 draft. By the way, thank you for taking my call. I listen to your show every day.
Thanks, man.
I think it was the 2007 draft. The Dolphins didn't take Drew Brees. That definitely killed us. That definitely set us back until hopefully now that we make the right pick with Tua.
Well, I hope you guys do make the right pick there. And Drew Brees, had he gone to the Dolphins in the trade from the Chargers, or free agency after the Chargers, would have changed not only the landscape of the NFL, but also college football, because Nick Saban was the coach at the time and has admitted since in the free agent period that had they gotten Drew Brees, he believes he still would have been in the NFL. So we wouldn't have had the Bama dynasty. Paul, in Bristol, what do you got as your NFL team's worst draft moment?
As a Redskins fan, it was RG3, the one-hit wonder. And I'm surprised none of the Giants fans have brought up Ron Dane.
Well, Ron Dane, that's actually a really good one. But RG3, really the worst for the Redskins? I mean, I know it was one-hit wonder, but that was at least a hit. I mean, Heath Shuler did. I'm trying to remember because Gus Frerotte, Heath Shuler taken in the same draft, right? And then Gus Frerotte ends up winning the job. So, you know, I have a hard time thinking of RG3 off the top of my head being worse than Heath Shuler. I mean, I'd have to go back and look up the numbers on it, but at least RG3 had one great year. And you could at least say also that maybe RG3 wasn't solely responsible for the demise of RG3. I think the coaches had a lot to do with that. I want you guys to keep chiming in. I want to keep getting your take on your favorite NFL team's worst draft moment. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you get in on the conversation. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. We'll keep letting you get it off your chest. Get it out. Get all the bad juju out before tomorrow night's draft. In the meantime, QB continued today. And this time, amazingly, we were discussing a quarterback who's not even in the league yet. We'll break down QB continued. Plus, we'll take more of your take. That's all coming up next. First Take, Your Take, hanging out with you on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN News.